Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we just acknowledge that it really is the word of God. And Father, I ask you this morning for minds that are open and receptive to the truth of your word, for hearts that are willing and obedient. Lord, that we might be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And Father, I just pray that each and every one, Lord, will receive instruction from the word of the Lord by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We are concluding a brief series today on basic Christianity. Basic Christianity is first and foremost about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is more than just a religion. Jesus died on the cross to restore the relationship between God and man. Second, it is about a transformed life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. It's not just about being a better person or having a better life. No, it's about a totally changed life, radically changed from the inside out. It's a whole new life and a whole new way of life. Third, it requires that we serve the purpose of God in our lives. To truly be a Christian means that we take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said, that we take up our cross daily and follow Him. It is to take up the purpose of God in our life, to serve Him, to do His will, to finish His work. And fourth, today we're going to talk about biblical community. It is a closeness that all believers should have with one another. We are all part of the body of Christ. Now, I want to look at a number of scriptures this morning, quite a few, and so I'm going to encourage you, just be ready, because we're going to go fast, and I got a lot of scripture and a lot of principles, but it's very important, and I'm just going to tell you from the beginning now, there are a lot of ideas and attitudes and philosophies in our generation that make it difficult for us to really receive some of this message. But I'm telling you, if it's the Word of God, then we need to take heed to it and receive it and live it out in our life. But that's why I want to give you so much scripture this morning, is because this is not just the idea of man. This is the Word of God. And it may go against the grain of some of what our culture and our society says, but church, we want to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. And we have to live by His Word. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:27. We'll start there. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Now most of us know that, but I just want to say it very clearly. We really are the body of Christ, and every single one of us, we're part of it. Ephesians 4:25, part of that verse says, "We are all members of one body." Very plainly, there is one body. Jesus has one body. We're all members of that one body. Romans 12:4-5. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Now, there's a strange statement. Each member belongs to all the others. You see, we really are part of each other. We're part of the body of Christ, and all the members belong to each other. You see, those kinds of statements just sound really strange in our day and time. But this is the way that it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, that we have a closeness, that we really are a part of a body together. It's biblical community. It is a relational closeness between us that we share because we have the same faith. We serve the same Lord. We've been washed in the same blood. We've been born of the same Spirit. And we have the same spiritual Father. You see, we are to have a relational closeness. There should be a dependence upon one another. Now see, that very statement just kind of goes against the grain today, because In our country, we exalt independence. But you see, in the body of Christ, we really aren't supposed to depend on each other. We need each other. And the Bible makes that very clear. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 and 22. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And you see, even those parts of the body of Christ that we might think are weak or unimportant, the Bible says they're indispensable. We need everyone. We can't say to anybody in the body of Christ, we don't need you. And yet that seems to be the attitude of the day. In fact, not only would some people say, maybe in their attitude towards a certain person or people, I don't need you. In fact, there are a lot of Christians, believers today, that just generally say to the whole entire body of Christ, I don't need any of y'all, just me and Jesus on my own. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And I'm telling you, we are missing much of our effectiveness and fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ because we lack the relationships, the closeness in our relationships that the Scripture speaks of, that biblical community that we're to have. We really are all a part of the same body, and we are all part of the same spiritual family. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, we have the same spiritual Father. We share His name. We all have become a part of the family of God. Every person that's born again is part of the family of God. That's amazing how little regard a lot of believers have for the family of God. They can just kind of take it or leave it. We need to see the value that Jesus placed on spiritual family. Matthew 12, 46 through 50 will give you a little bit of insight there. It says, while Jesus was talking to the crowd, His mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to Him. Someone told Him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to His disciples, He said, here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, if you look into the teachings of Jesus and what He did during His ministry, you certainly see that He in no way was lessening the importance of natural family. But what He was doing is showing us that spiritual family is of great value. We need to feel that way ourselves. We need to feel like, listen, you know, it's old-fashioned to say brother, to say sister, but we need to feel that way, whether we say it or not. We need to feel that way, that these are my brothers and my sisters. We're spiritual family. And you say, church, we've lost something. It's not just a tradition that we lost by not saying brother and sister anymore. There is an attitude, a scriptural mindset that we really are spiritual family. And it's important. Ephesians 2:19 says, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. See, we're not foreigners. We're not aliens. No, we have all come into the family of God. We are fellow citizens and members of God's household, the same spiritual household. As Christians, we are part of something that's much bigger than ourselves. We are all a part of the people of God that He is bringing together for Himself. And He calls it a church. Now, you know, most people, when they think of church, they think of a building. And even though we say, oh, the church is not a building, you know, it's still kind of just ingrained in our mindset. Well, I'm going to church this week. And that's okay to say, because certainly that's how we explain to people that we're gathering together with God's people. But we just need to always be aware the church is not a building or a place. It is a group of people. It is God's people. And that word, the Greek word for church, literally means called out. We are those that have been called out from this world and brought together to be the people of God. And I just want you to understand that these relationships that we have together as a church are vital to our Christianity. This really is basic Christianity. I acknowledge to you that there's a whole lot of the Christian world that is totally missing this. And a lot of us, to some degree, are missing it. Church, we need to get a hold of us. Church isn't a social club. It is a spiritual body. We need to realize how important it is in our lives as a Christian. Biblical community is a big part of what makes our Christianity real and what makes it different from man-made religions. It's a vital part of the Christian life. And it's been devalued, and a lot of people just consider it as something that's unimportant or unnecessary. But the Bible commands us to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And I want to tell you, those commands and many more commands in the Bible, you can't really obey God's Word and fulfill God's Word if you're not involved with other believers. If you're not committed in relationships with other people and connected with other members of the body of Christ, you can't even obey the Scripture. Those relationships or those commands demand that we have a closeness in our relationships with one another. Our relationships in the body of Christ play a huge role in our own personal spiritual life. Many times they have a very real influence in how well we're doing spiritually. You know, this age of independence we live in right now, where independence is just touted, it's exalted, and it's hard for us to really own up to how important our spiritual relationships with others are. But we've all seen people that got out of church because relationships went bad. They got hurt or disappointed in some way with people, and they got out of church. All of us have seen the blessing of spiritual relationships, where because of a spiritual relationship, we or somebody else were blessed and grew and were strengthened in our faith because of a relationship with a spiritual person. So we've seen that influence, and yet, amazingly, a lot of times people just don't want to admit how important it really is. I like to clarify this and say this just very plainly. Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners, and we should be. We need to reach out to people. We need to love the unlovable. And those in our society who are godless and don't believe in the Lord, we need to love them and reach out to them. But hear me very plainly. We need to be wise and careful about those that we make our close friends. We need to be wise and careful about those that we hang out with and fellowship with and allow to have influence into our life. And there's a foolish attitude among some believers that they can hang out with anybody and it won't affect them. Well, I want to tell you that that's not what the Bible says. You need spiritual relationships and friendships in your life to strengthen your faith and help you become all that God wants you to be. Now listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You see, it's in our friendships with one another we learn and we grow. Not anybody has it all. No, we learn and grow from one another. Iron sharpens iron. And then there are those truths. I want to give you several scriptures that show how important it is that you have spiritual relationships and avoid relationships that'll drag you down. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Another translation says, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself and think that you are an exception to God's word. A hearer only, deceiving your own self. Well, it doesn't matter who I hang out with, I'm going to do and I'm going to be. Listen, over time, their attitudes, the things they say, and how they live their life will affect you. If you hang out with them and you continue to, listen, not me, the Bible says, bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Now, wisdom is not really exalted in our generation. It's more cool to be wild and crazy and act like a fool. But really and truly, as we, you know, as we serve the Lord and we, as we age a little bit, we find out it pays to be wise. Listen, life goes good for you when you're wise. And, well, here's the second half of the verse. But a companion of fools suffers harm. It didn't say that if you're a fool, you're going to suffer harm. It said the companion of fools suffers harm. If you hang out with foolish people, harm is going to come to you. Now, that's what the Bible says. Some of us think we know better. Well, one more. Proverbs 12:26. This is from the New King James Version. It just says it so plainly. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know, in my years of youth ministry, I can't tell you how many times I saw young people led astray from their walk with God because they got involved with people who were not sold out to the Lord. And you know, I said not sold out because sometimes they may be Christian, but they're cold or lukewarm Christians. But you know, none of us is exempt from that. We need to be wise, be careful in how we choose our friends, those that we are close to, those that we allow influence into our life. One of the reasons that so few people are really discipled in the body of Christ is because not enough importance is placed on relationships, spiritual relationships. Do you know, discipleship is not something that happens from a pulpit. Now, a pastor, a teacher, can teach you about the Christian life, but much of discipleship takes place as we are together with one another. We learn and we grow from one another, and we see the Christian life lived out in others. That's the way Jesus did it. Jesus had 12 that he was with all the time, and the Bible tells us those 12 turned the world upside down. So it works. It's still working today. But you see, when we don't realize or utilize the effectiveness of spiritual relationships, we lose much of that potential for discipleship. We need to see how important it is. Ephesians 4:15-16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, the body of Christ is effective and fruitful, and it grows when all of the body is held together by every supporting ligament, and each part fulfills its function, does its part in love. Then the body grows. Then we're really being effective like the Lord wants us to be. And you know, the early church was a great example to us of biblical community and how our relationships should be. At the time when that church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached and thousands got saved, it was just the right time. In that culture and in that society, it was very natural for the church to be those who were called out. When people professed Jesus, basically they had to come out of their normal sphere of friends and family. To profess Jesus meant that they were going to have a whole new family and new friends. And so in that society and culture, it was natural for them to understand those spiritual relationships and how important they were. But for us today, a lot of times people come to know the Lord, they get born again, And yet they don't really develop spiritual relationships and connection with other believers. They just kind of show up at church and go their way. And I'll tell you, it kind of seems to be the American way, but it's not scriptural. We desperately need that closeness in relationships with other believers. That's what the Scripture teaches. Now, the early church, Acts 2:42, it tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. It weren't casual about it. It wasn't, well, you know, if there's nothing good on TV, come on. If I can't find something else to do. No, they were devoted to it. It was life to them. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together. Every day. Every day. Listen, we have a hard time with once a week or every 2 weeks. Every day. You see, the culture was different, and I'm telling you, it was different. But we need to realize we need these relationships. We need that closeness with our brothers and sisters. Some of us wonder why we struggle so much, as we struggle on our own far too much. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They had small groups. It wasn't organized. But because of the culture and the way that things happened, it was a natural outcome. And you know, for us today, it needs to be organized, and we need to intentionally do this in our life, that commit to, be devoted to it. I'm going to be involved with some other believers and develop close relationships. I'm going to be connected in the body of Christ. We got way too many lone rangers in the body of Christ, and it just doesn't work. No, we all need each other. They came from all walks of life, and they ate together, prayed together, learned together, shared with each other. They fellowshiped together, and they grew together. Some of us today, our relationships with other believers consist of sitting on the same row at church for an hour. No, we need a lot more than that. We're going to look at 12 principles from the Word of God that will improve and strengthen our relationships with one another. 12. We're going to go fast. Now, there's more than 12, but I'm just going to give you 12 today. And if you know what? I hope you can remember them all. But if you just, I believe the Holy Spirit will help you. Just one or two even that you especially need. Just get a hold of those. They're not new, but there's something that a lot of the time, most of these things we fail to do at least as much as we should. And I want to encourage you to fully embrace the truth of the Word of God and live it out in your life. I want to challenge you to commit yourself and purpose in your heart to do God's Word. The first principle we just read about in Acts chapter 2. Now, let me just say this one more time. You know, I spent this far in the end of the message just to get everybody on this page. We need biblical community. We need a closeness in the body of Christ. We need strong relationships with one another. Now, if we believe that, then these 12 principles will help us to strengthen those relationships, to improve our relationships with one another. The first one, very plain and simple, right there in Acts chapter 2, they were together. They had a closeness because they were together all the time. Our relationships aren't instant. They don't happen in a moment, in an instant, or overnight. Sometimes you meet a brother or sister in the Lord, and of course, because they are a brother and sister in the Lord, there's immediately a fondness, or there you relate to one another because you're both serving the same Lord. But to really get close to one another, it takes time. This isn't rocket science. If you're going to get close to people, it's going to take some time. You're going to have to be willing to be together with those people. You can't get close to people you don't spend any time with. So you got to be together. You got to spend time with those people to develop the kind of meaningful relationships that we should have in the body of Christ. Second, you have to accept one another. Romans 15 and 7, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Just as Christ accepted you. There's not one of us that got our act together. There's not one of us that cleaned ourselves up. There's not one of us that made ourselves good enough to come to Jesus. He accepted us just as is. Did you ever buy an as-is car? Sometimes you don't know what you're getting, and sometime after you get it, you wish you didn't. But let me tell you something. In the body of Christ, we have to accept each other, everybody. We have to accept everybody as is. It is not our place to judge. We are to accept them, to receive them, just as Christ Jesus accepted us. This community, biblical community, is an accepting community. You know, that doesn't mean that we condone or approve or even accept the behavior of someone, but we accept and embrace the person. We realize that God accepts them, and so should we. It's through that acceptance that we find a sense of belonging and that people care about us. I'm telling you, there's such a desperate need in our world for that. A place where people feel accepted and cared about, feel like they belong. That should be in the body of Christ. You know, sometimes church people can be religious and judgmental and make it hard for people to come into the kingdom. Church, it can't be that way. The body of Christ ought to be the most accepting people, that we love people and accept them and receive them with open arms, just as Jesus Christ received us. Now, for some people, I'd like to tell them, well, you can start your own private club. But Jesus is president of this one, and he says, all are welcome. And he accepts us. We need to accept people. Don't try to make everybody like you. Now, I've met a few believers that I wish we had more just like them. Some of you, I tell you, you are such a blessing to me. I wish we had more just like you. But the truth is, we just need one you. Don't try to make everybody like you. You don't try to pull people through your knothole. Listen, everybody that comes has to come this way by the blood of Jesus. They're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And that's it. We accept them. We don't try to make them be just like us. Number three, Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another. There needs to be a commitment in the relationships in the body of Christ. Not I can take it or leave it, but there's a real devotion. I'm devoted to the Lord. Well, that's good, but we should be devoted, committed to one another as well. In brotherly love. That brotherly love is the family kind of love. Now, some people, as I said, they have that attitude, well, I can take church or leave it. But that's not scriptural. We need to have the mindset that this is family. That person is family. You know, the way it normally is with natural family, you might not like what they do. You might not like the things they say. You may be at odds with them and disagreement with them about some things, but they're family. Amen. And I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, even more so, it should be that way. We don't have to agree on everything. Listen, but we're family. We stick together. We're devoted to one another in brotherly love. Number four, John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so must you love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Listen, that one pretty much sums it all up, doesn't it? If we just love one another the way Jesus loves us. Now, he's not talking about a fondness here that you like somebody a whole lot. No, he's talking about that sacrificial love. He said, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He laid down his life for his friends. And you know what? In biblical community, in real Christianity, we got to love each other no matter what. Even when it costs us, even when it hurts, that's loving one another as Christ has loved us. We can't do that in our own strength, but the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we are a partaker of His divine nature. So we can love each other that way. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That kind of love comes from God. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, it'd be easy if we could just pick and choose who we're going to love. But we're supposed to love everyone. Even those that have wronged us, those that have mistreated us, those that have hurt us, those that seem to be unlovable, we are supposed to love them. Everybody. All the time. But I want you to notice this. And when Jesus said, love one another, He is talking to the disciples specifically. He said, love one another as I have loved you. He says, by this, the world will know that you're my disciples. Church, it's by our love for one another that we prove to the world that we really are followers of Jesus. It's the way we treat each other that the world will see that we're true followers of Jesus. See, what I'm talking about this morning really is basic Christianity. Our relationships, a lot of the time, they're the proof in the pudding whether or not we're the real deal. If we really love one another, the world's going to see. In fact, if we profess to love God, but we don't love one another, the Bible says that we're a liar. It's right there, 1 John 4:19-21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's how important our relationships with one another are. We can't say that we love God and not love our brother. Somebody might justify themselves. I've heard things like this before and say, well, they're not really a brother in the Lord. I don't think they're born again. Well, first of all, I wouldn't go there if I were you. But second, even if they're not and they're your enemy, well, Jesus got us on that one too because He said, love your enemies. Number five, Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to improve any relationship, here is some great counsel from the Word of God. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Oh, those are great qualities that will improve your relationships. But you absolutely have to bear with one another. Everybody has faults. If you think you don't, I can tell you one of yours right now. It's called pride. All of us have faults. And so for us to develop closeness, the kind of relationships we should have in the body of Christ, we're going to have to bear with each other. There are some people that are going to get on your nerves like fingernails on a chalkboard. But you bear with them because they're your brother or sister in Christ. That personality that you wish that their personality got saved. You know what I'm saying? But it just gets on your nerves. But you bear with them. There's some who are not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Some that are not the strongest link in the chain. Now, I have a hard time with that. Sometimes, you know, when people are weak and up and down and wishy-washy, I just want to say, come on, just man up, straighten up, serve God. Who cares what happened? But I bear with them. And then there are those people that are just like too blunt and too abrasive sometimes, and y'all have to bear with me. Some of you caught that, didn't you? I just did it. I was being really blunt. Did y'all? Anyway. There's some of us that have never been written up in Forbes magazine. Some of us that have not always been considered to be model citizens. I'm telling you, He calls us from all walks of life, and yet He brings us together and says, love one another, and to do that, you're going to have to forbear with one another. You know, I don't even like to put it in these terms because it's seen in such a negative light, but we have to put up with each other. Not begrudgingly, but lovingly and gladly we put up with each other because we're family, spiritual family. By the way, 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 30 says, think of what you were when you were called. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose. There's a key word. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him, as if any of us could. I'm telling you, He brought us all together with all of our weaknesses and faults and personality quirks, and we're to love one another and forbear one another. Number six, pray for each other. James 5:16, pray for each other. Just when you think you can't put up with them anymore, you don't know how you could possibly love that person when they're mistreating you, done you wrong, pray for them. I'm telling you, as you pray for them, not only can God change them, but God will give you the strength to love them. He'll give you the strength to forbear with them. Amen. You got to pray for them. You know, many of Paul's prayers are recorded in his letters. He was a praying man. He prayed all the time. He prayed for the church. He prayed for individuals. Prayer was part of the regular activities of that early church. We need to be praying for one another. It brings us closer together. You know, as you pray for people, it just does something in your own heart. I've seen many times in a room of believers where there was tension or even strife, when you join hands and you begin to pray, I'm telling you, if people are sincere, they join hands and begin to pray, that strife just has to go out the door. When people start praying, attitudes change, hearts open up to God, and God comes in and changes things. If we want biblical community, strong relationships, we've got to pray for one another. You know, prayer brings the power of God into our lives, and it opens the door for the miraculous, but it also changes us when we pray. You know, we all need prayer. We all need other people to pray for us. Even the Apostle Paul said, pray for me. It's Romans 15:30 says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. In fact, as your pastor, I ask you, pray for me. I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the wisdom. I need you to pray for me. Back to that verse from James 5:16. The whole verse says this: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Another translation says, confess your faults to one another. And you know why we don't do that? It's because we lack the closeness a lot of times to be able to trust one another that way. Church, it needs to be there that we have such a closeness with one another that we can tell somebody. Now, not everybody. You don't need to stand up in front of the whole church and tell them about all your faults and problems. But all of us need to have some people that we are close enough to in the body of Christ that we can share. We can tell them when you're having a struggle, when you're having a hard time, when you're being tempted in some area, or there's a weakness in your life, that there's somebody you can go to and say, pray for me. And the Bible says that you may be healed. Now that word there that's translated as healed, it's not just talking about your physical body being healed. It's talking about you being whole, body, soul, and spirit. So, you know, as we pray for one another, the power of God is released and God works in our lives. And I'm telling you, it's a vital part of our relationships, a spiritual relationship with one another. See, I'm not in any way just talking about, hey, let's get together and have a social thing. It's more than that. We get together and we have social interaction and fellowship, but it's a spiritual fellowship. It's something meaningful and where we pray for one another and we care for one another. And through that prayer, we become close and knit together. Number seven, this one's really strange. Some people are going to have a hard time with it. Ephesians 5:21, submit one to another. When I say submit one to another, by the way, that's what the Bible said. So don't throw it out, but we need to get a grasp, an understanding of what is it really saying. See, most people run from the idea of submit because they think that that means that you're going to have to be somebody's slave and do whatever they tell you. No, that's not biblical submission. When the Bible says submit one to another, it's saying that we should be willing to yield to each other. We don't have to be right. See, some people have the attitude, it's my way or the highway. No, the biblical attitude, if you want to have close relationships and develop those relationships with other believers, you got to be willing to yield. You got to be willing to let other people have their way. Not I got to have my way. I'm so glad that I don't pastor a church where they want to fight over what color chairs we buy or which side of the auditorium the piano's on because we ain't got one. You know, and I just thank the Lord. This is not that kind of church. We don't have that kind of pettiness where, well, we got to have a meeting. We'll all vote on it. I'm telling you, that stuff's of the devil. That kind of strife brings in every evil work. I thank the Lord that this is a body of people where we do submit to one another. And we don't have that mentality. Well, I got to, it's my way or no way. Aren't y'all proud of me? I just kept that in. I didn't say it. I've seen Christians fight and argue so many times. I can't think of a single time when one of them admitted they were wrong in the middle of the argument. You know why? Because both sides are always 100% sure they're right. Now think about that the next time you get in an argument with somebody. Because we're always sure we're right. Both sides. And I'm telling you that it is seldom ever about issues of sin and obedience or disobedience, but is almost always about matters of preference and personal opinion and at most personal conviction. Most of the time, the arguments and the quarreling in the body of Christ is just a matter of preference. And those things we should submit to one another. We don't have to have our way. There's times when we have to stand up for what's right. When it comes to obeying the Scripture and obeying the Lord, then certainly we have to be willing to stand up for what's right. But listen, Peter Marshall wrote this little prayer, "Dear Lord, when I'm wrong, make me easy to change. When I'm right, make me easy to live with." Now, some of us need that. There are some things that are worth standing your ground and being in a conflict, but not just to prove you're right. Listen, Paul said this in Romans 12:18, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Is it possible? Is there a way you can live at peace? Now, there's times when you can't. The Apostle Paul was certainly not at peace with everyone. He was beaten and stoned and run out of town more than once. He wasn't at peace with everybody. But as much as possible, we need to be at peace with people. And I'm just going to warn you, anytime you talk about submitting one to another, they're always going to, in the church and other places, there are always going to be people who by force of personality and by pressure try to intimidate other people and get other people to do what they want. And they try to run the show. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm just telling you, no, we're not going to allow somebody like that to order us around. And no, we're going to stand up and do what's right and obey God. But most of the time, it's not a matter of obedience or disobedience. It's simply a matter of preference. And I encourage you, We need to be willing to submit ourselves one to another and not demand to have our way. You know, the root problem there is pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." So pride's the real problem. It's the root. Number 8, Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." We are to bear one another's burdens. I'm telling you, that's what biblical community is all about. That when somebody is weak, there's somebody else that's there to help them, to strengthen them. When somebody falls, there's somebody else there not to kick them while they're down, but to help them back up. Amen? That we carry one another's burdens. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So we stick with each other, especially when they're going through a hard time. If somebody's going through a battle, don't assume that somebody else is going to help them. Listen, if it comes to your mind and it's on your heart, God's dealing with you to help that person, to encourage them, to minister to them. But you know, that only happens when there are real relationships. Because without a real relationship with people, we don't even know a lot of the time when somebody's going through a hard time. We've got to have those relationships for us to even begin to carry each other's burdens. Number 9, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. All of us need to be encouraged at times. All of us get weary sometimes. All of us struggle sometimes with doubt or unbelief, and we need people to come along who will speak the word to us and speak words of faith to us. Compliment people. Say something good to them. I'm not talking about empty flattery, but say something that will lift them up. The Bible said, encourage and build them up. We need to do that. It's important in our relationships. Number 10, we're picking up speed. Can you tell? We're going to make it. Number 10, Galatians 6:10 says, "Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Do good to all people. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, you're supposed to do a good deed every day. I wish in the body of Christ, we would just make it a goal, purpose in our heart, that every day I'm going to do good to somebody. I'm going to do something notable, a random act of kindness. I'm going to do good to somebody, something unexpected. And you know, he said, especially to those who are of the household of faith, do good to them. Make it a point that every day, we should do it many times a day, but make it a point that every day you're going to do good to somebody. Go out of your way and do good to somebody. Number 11, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, we get enough hatred from the world. The church should be a place of refuge and safety where we can come and not have to worry about being put down or made fun of or picked at. But instead, we find people that are kind and compassionate. Let me sum it up for you. Be nice. Just be nice. Don't you hate it when your kids fight and bicker all the time? You know, it's a parent, one of a parent's biggest battles, especially when they're little. They fight and bicker all the time, and you're always so frustrating. You know, you're trying to get them to love each other, and they want to fight and bicker. But there's just certain ages there where, you know, they growing up that they just do that. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels about it? I wonder if there's a certain spiritual maturity age where they just do that. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that when we are in strife, that we're still carnal, mere babes in Christ. I'm telling you, church, we need to grow up and be kind and compassionate to one another and not allow bickering and fighting and be picking at each other. And young people, I just want to tell you, regardless of what you see in the sitcoms, it's that all that picking and putting each other down and making fun of people, it does damage and harm to relationships in the body of Christ, and it really does hurt people. And listen, we just need to know that in the body of Christ, people come here to be loved and cared for. Be nice. The last one comes from the same verse. Just as in Christ, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I want to tell you, without forgiveness, no relationship can go very far or last very long, because all of us make mistakes and say things we shouldn't say. All of us have to be willing to forgive. Well, how many times? That's what Peter said. How many times? You just keep forgiving. And I know that's not always easy. Sometimes when you've been hurt very deeply, you just think to yourself, how could I possibly ever forgive that person? This is one of those areas where we have to depend on the Lord's strength. But we can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God, as you pray, God will give you the strength to be able to forgive that person. If you have a willing heart to do it, then God will give you the strength to do it. But we have to forgive, he said, just as in Christ God forgave us. See, forgiveness is not really an option for a Christian. We who have been forgiven, we have no right to hold unforgiveness against somebody else. Oh, we got to walk in forgiveness if we're going to walk with one another, if we're going to love one another. Now, I'm going to say it one more time. Without forgiveness, no relationship will go very far or last very long. You got to forgive. Well, stand with me.